Okay, we got to be honest. The five golden rings is the best verse of this song. Only you got to do it longer, don't you? Like each time we sing it, it's five roast beef sandwiches. Five gold. Next service?
Next service.
Okay. Oh, five go-karts. Yeah, they took them back, by the way. We tried to hide them. We thought that would be fun to play with the rental company. Five gold rings. If you don't know, we're counting down toward Christmas. Just so you know, Wednesday night, because it's the night before Thanksgiving, there is nothing going on here. It will not be Six Swans of Swimming. That will be next Sunday. So if you show up on Wednesday night, you can do donuts in the parking lot. I heard it was somebody in this section that did them. Five golden rings. Anybody know who this guy is? Wow. Anybody know what this guy did? I'll give you a hint. This is the guy that wrote Sherlock Holmes. The original Sherlock Holmes story. If you're going to write the Sherlock's Home type stories, you're going to look at life a certain way. One of the things this guy did is he got intrigued with this 12 Days of Christmas song. He started researching it, and something just bothered him about this song. If you look at it, the last 5 days are all people. Day 8, maids a milking. 9, 10, 11. Oh, and I cannot wait till the 12th day. All I gotta say is earplugs should be brought. But right, these are all people. But for the first 7 days, we've got a bird, a bird, a bird, a bird. Actually, one bird, two birds, three birds, four birds. Five golden rings? And then back to birds. The gentleman who wrote Sherlock Holmes did a ton of research, and these five golden rings were indeed not five golden rings. They were golden ring pheasants in the original song. Go impress your friends over lunch when they say, "What did you learn in church this morning?" Some also said that it could be gold sphinx or golden finches, that those would have been appropriate gifts on this day. I just, in case you're giving your true love these gifts this holiday season, make sure you're, I almost said make sure you're still giving them the bird. That would be totally, I'm learning to censor. That would have been funny. Five goldfinches, another set of birds. I mean, just remember, this woman now has all of these birds in her house. But as we look at this, if it's five golden birds, we gotta own something. As a people, this is going to be one of these facts that's going to be stuck in your head now. Whenever you sing the song, you're going to be, oh, those were birds, goldfinches. Because we as people love to make things match. We love to have order and structure and symmetry. In fact, if you look at a person, beauty has been directly equated to symmetry in one's face. I was gonna put a picture up here. If you look at Tom Cruise, his face, his teeth are actually not symmetrical. His middle tooth is directly under his, it'll bug you from here on out. If we had one tree that was higher than another, it would bother people. And that's the key to understanding these five golden rings. I would say they are the gold rings of the church. If we learn how to do this as a church, we are going to excel. But you got to get a little bit Sherlock's homey on it. You've got to look at that Ephesians verse that was just read and unpack it like Sherlock Holmes would. He says this, and he, that is God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. When you look at this, and many people in the church will teach this many, many different ways. But if you Sherlock's home it and look at it, the reason God gave these people to the church was to equip the saints. That's all of us. To equip us for the work of the ministry. That is, to do the very things that God put us here to do, to continue to advance His kingdom, to bring love and healing and hope and salvation and grace to a world that's broken, to build up the church, and to attain unity in the faith. I don't know if any of you have ever been a part of an organization that didn't feel like there was unity, that didn't feel like people were working together and pulling in the same direction, where there was tension. I would argue that the key to dispelling this tension is understanding those first five gifts, those five golden rings. And we don't get there until we're fully mature. That is, when we're immature, we're still working through this. Let me unpack just a little bit. By the way, one thing I want to put in a complete shameless plug. As Promise is looking at ministry, as we're looking at our out, as we're looking at how we're moving outside of just these walls, just these people who gather on Sunday morning, during the Nutcracker Suites, December 11th, 12th, and 13th, we're going to be unveiling what our missional focus is for that next year. So if you come, you're going to hear a whole bunch about where we're going. I'm not going to let you know what it is yet because I want it to be a surprise. But we'll also talk about that missional focus here on that Sunday. So if you can make it out to that weekend, wow, you're going to have just a treat in for you. Why? Because different people are using different gifts in different ways. The fivefold ministry that was just talked about in Ephesians, that is, God gave us shepherds and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles. One way of reading this, and many people have read it, that they say there were prophets in the Old Testament and they've all died off and we don't have that anymore. You'll read this in some commentaries. There were the apostles, those people that lived with Jesus, and they died off, and we don't have them anymore. And today, the ministry of the church is done by shepherds and teachers. Some have even been so crass as to say that people who happen to be ordained are the shepherds slash teachers, and they're the ones that do the ministry in the church. If anyone ever tells you that, if you can please open your mouth and go, that's from the Greek, so it's totally, that is silliness. That is the silliest exegesis of this verse ever. And the first reason why is to look at it from Sherlock Holmes. Do you guys know this reference? I don't always bark, but when I do, it's 3 a.m. and it's because a leaf looked sketchy. All the dog owners just didn't laugh because they were up last night at their dog barking at snow, right? This was Sherlock Holmes. One of the books was, one of his clues was the dog that didn't bark. It's trying to figure out why was this person killed? Who killed this person? And they found out that the person had to be close enough to the family that the dog didn't bark when they came into the house. They knew them. They could rub their fur, and the dog didn't bark, because if it had been a burglary, the dog would have went nuts. Now, they didn't have my dog, who barks at snow at 3 a.m. So when we look at this, the key question you got to ask when you're talking about this fivefold ministry, and by the way, if as you're studying your Bible, this is one that often comes into play, is this an issue that's an order of creation or an order of redemption? Here's what I mean by that. When God created the world, He created it in a certain order. I'm amazed how many Christians today will go to the edge arguing about creation and creationism. And I'm not against that. Actually, I'm very for that. I say we take it a step further, that we own the fact that God created the world in such a way that even after sin, those things still continue to perpetuate. That is, when God created a tree, he put an apple on it, and inside that apple were seeds so that those seeds could fall to the ground and make more trees that could make more apples. That's an order of creation thing that even in sin perpetuates. Are you with me? There's some ways that the world just is because God created it that way. And although sin warps it, it keeps on going. I would argue that this fivefold ministry is an order of creation thing. That when God made people, they have different skills and different talents that are just wired into their DNA. Those things that you can't not do. I'll repeat that. Those things that you can't not do. I'm amazed how many people can't not care for a child. It's in their DNA. God has knit them together to be a pastor shepherd. And so when they see a child crying, it doesn't matter if it's their own. They want to bring that healing to the child. This is versus the order of redemption. There's some things like the spiritual gifts that we talked about last week that they only come in baptism. They only come to Christians. Not everybody has these gifts, these talents, these things. They only come in the order of redemption. And some of them, unfortunately, we won't have until we're face to face with God in heaven. I would argue that if we miss this Ephesians fivefold ministry, we miss the church growing to maturity. And so the question I'm going to ask you today is, in your DNA, in the way that God's created you, what's your base ministry? What's that thing that you can't not do? Let me explain them, and I'm going to explain them today strictly from an order of creation. Because we see these things not just in the church, but we see them everywhere in the world. The first one I want to talk about is an evangelist and Howard Schultz. Anybody know who that is? You will in a second. Howard Schultz is an evangelist. He called himself the coffee evangelist. See, what Schultz did is he went over to Italy and he had this experience in Greek. We'd call it a euangelion, and an experience that was good news. He walked up to a little barista, and they poured him this cup of coffee, and he had this experience that from that day forward, he wanted to share the good news of coffee, the experience of with the world. See, he considered that good news. I would agree with him. I'm not saying this is the salvific gospel. And I know all y'all. I've seen what we spend here in coffee in a given week. You all would agree. See, an evangelist is someone that has good news and they want to share that with the world. I mean, you all can think of one, right? You have that person, whenever they have a good experience, all they do is tell everyone about it. That's what a base evangelist looks like. They hear good news and they can't not tell people about it. Now, in the case of Christians, this is, by the way, telling people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How God died for our sins, and because of him, we have right relationship with God. Just out of curiosity, and I don't expect every hand to go up, who thinks, hey, I'm a base evangelist? Actually, I'll save that to the end. Okay, a couple of you. Oh, I told, yeah. You're the, Jerry hears something good, you know about it. He tells everybody. I love it. Base evangelist. Let's power through this. Base apostle. What an apostle is it's a sent one. An apostle is one that they see a new territory that needs to be taken, and they take it. Apple Computer, specifically Steve Jobs, is the epitome of an evangelist. When this thing came out, the first smartphone ever, somebody just texted me, thank you very much. I was going to ask who it was. When the first smartphone came out, they asked Steve in an interview, they said, how many people did you ask before you released the iPhone? And he gave the apostles' answer. Anybody know what he said? Focus groups? Nah, Steve said, nobody. People don't know what they want until you give it to them. See, that's how Steve Jobs was wired. He was an apostle. He saw the future, and he drove until he got there. If you ever watch any of the movies, he was a jerk. He was mean. He was obsessive about getting to where he was going. Why do I mention that? Not to down Steve Jobs, but to say how many of us aren't built up into unity because we can't stop for a second and go, hold on, he wasn't being mean. He was so driven by his goal that he'd forget that people mattered. See, some of you are base apostles, and you can't wait to get to the next thing. Prophets. By the way, a prophet in Scripture is not someone who tells the future. This isn't a crystal ball reader. This isn't a in 3 days you will walk across the street and you will see a green car. No, a prophet in Scripture, and this is in the Old Testament, and it's the prophetic words in the New Testament, and it's the people who do this today. A prophet is one who can get quiet and listen to what God's saying in the midst of a culture. A prophet is one that can step back far enough and see the big picture. How many of you lose the forest in the midst of the trees? Okay, 4 of you. I'm not buying it. Right? How many of you naturally can step back and see the big picture and not get lost in the minutiae and the details? Okay, none of you. That's the prophetic gifting, and it's through Scripture. I'm amazed as we've looked at this as a church and we start to talk about it, how as prophets have started to rise up where they just go, hey, Pastor, I've been praying about this, and there's something bigger going on than just this one thing. These are the ones that, by the way, 20 to 30%, as they've studied our civilization, of people fall into evangelist, prophet, and apostle. Most people aren't wired this way, and I would say it's because the people that are wired this way are, they do so much damage that it takes the other 70 to 80% of the people to clean up the mess, right? Taking new territory. Taking that step back and seeing the bigger picture, this causes ruckus. The other two types, and I don't have a logo for them, are shepherds. I put the nurse's hat up there because my experience, I'm amazed how many pastors, how many shepherds there are in the nursing field. If you're a nurse, can you just stand up for a second? Thank you. Thank you. See, what I've learned about nurses, first off, no disrespect, but most of the time they know more than the doctor. Because they're there with the patient, caring for them, hearing their story, loving on them. I'm not saying doctors are unimportant. I'm not. I'm saying they have different skill sets. They have different things. The nurse often knows what's going on. Why? Because they're a pastor. A pastor comes from the word where they were the shepherd. They were out with the sheep. They knew the sheep's name. They knew that this sheep, back when they were just a little baby, got scared of a wolf by a river. And so they keep that sheep far away from the river. They do the dirty work and they don't complain about it. They're the ones that change the diapers and mend the wounds. Nurses are just one, and we hardly ever recognize them. And I'm amazed in this church how many pastors they are. I'm amazed as I've started learning what a shepherd pastor is. Can I just say, some of you that are pastors are exercising this gift so well, and I love it. There is nothing more joyous than me than when I get the call that I have to go visit somebody in the hospital, and I show up, and I'm trying to get back to the ICU, and I say, no, I'm the pastor of Promise. And they look at me, and they're like, I'm not buying it. Because there's four other people that said they were this person's small group leader. They were this person's prayer partner. They were this person's, because those people I've just given permission, go ahead and just tell the person at the desk, no, I'm their pastor, because I'm not trying to minimize ordination. But the way we care for each other, the way that we're there at those times, it's great when I walk in and they don't believe I'm the pastor because there's already four or five people from Promise who are visiting them and loving on them. That's the work of the pastor. And that's why pastor-teacher are about 80% of the population. Wow. See, I want to tell you about Mrs. Reckaway. The first pastor I ever had. I want to tell you about how she just walked in and she drew on the board and she loved us kids. And she wasn't the pastor of the church. She wasn't ordained. She was my Sunday school teacher. But when I had an asthma attack at the youth function, she sat there and she rubbed my back until my mom could come pick me up. See, we need more pastors. We need more people who are willing to sit with people and love them in those wee hours of the morning. I'm amazed how many people here are wired as pastors. And we need pastors to look at the apostles and go, hold on, slow down. You're going to kill people as you take this new territory. We need pastors to look at the evangelists and I go, I know you're excited about the good news, but we can't just tell them about it by yelling. We also have to love them. And one last one I want to talk to you about is the teachers. Yeah, that's a picture of a barn. Why? Because my first teacher was Miss Barnes. She was awesome. She sat there and she figured out a way to make me fall in love with music. I was 6 years old, and she was a hippie. I know because we listened to the Beatles somehow in a public school setting, and we learned to sing. Who's that teacher? Who's that person who can make you fall in love with a topic like physics or math or art? Are you that teacher? Do you have that passion where if somebody asks you, you will tell them everything about the topic until they love it as much as you do? So that's what a teacher is. Five golden rings. It might have been pheasants. It might have been all these same birds. Or maybe it was something different. Because the point of the fivefold ministry is each and every one of us is different. Each and every one of us is uniquely knit together. I have this dream that all the people of Promise would know their base ministry. That they would know, hey, here's how I function, and I function different than you, and that is totally okay. In fact, I can learn things from you that make me even better at the way that God's wired me. I just encourage you, and you can go online and Google Fivefold Ministry. You can read the stuff on this Ephesians verse. But this Christmas, the gift that you could give to this congregation, the gift you could give to your family, is knowing who you are and who they are, and how do you fulfill this Ephesians verse of building each other up to fullness. I want to meditate on that because God is just so big that he made us uniquely to live out that bigness.